So, why Valentine's? She asks innocently. I wince, stutter, and quietly mutter, "It's a long story." How am I to express my quest for love in the knowledge that for the last 7 years I was experiencing possession? In the days and months following that torturous break, I felt desperate to know, dear reader, a true and unwavering love, the kind present in the Valentine's cards of the Victorian age. Plush doves in bundles of silk and ribbon, a rosy-cheeked cherub launching its arrow to thine heart. Instead, I became accustomed to love bombing, emotional coercion, and the fated belief that it was all my fault. In amongst my bookcase, Angel, a text which I'm aptly reading, How to Be an Artist by American art critic Jerry Saltz. Within it, as a forlorn sort of bookmark, a 1930s Valentine I'd sourced for that vampire. Prophetically, it reads, Ah, oh, gee, don't string me along like you do. Are you going to be my Valentine? On its reverse, a hand-scrawled love note beneath another dead lover's calligraphic script. To Jenny from Felipe. Lost and deluded, within my words I address him and profess to make up for my many mistakes. I remember obsessively, in the not-too-distant past, combing through bell hooks' seminal text all about love, in a desperate need to see and feel all that I was missing. She tells me that love is a concerted act, an effort one tends to day by day, as though willing a rosebush to bloom. While I've now found love quite generously, a hand to hold, lips to kiss, a home-cooked meal deep in my belly, babe, I feel fixated by the ways in which we historically express love materially, with the human hand as the main purveyor. There is an elaborate and unabashed beauty in the arts and crafts of the Victorian age, no less so for their harmonious application of several distinct specialisms: embossing, chromolithographic printing, gilding, and paper lace, not explicitly employed in that order. The pride of many British manufacturers, including the famous Dobbs & Co., George Mansell, and George Kershaw and Sons. These highly decorative works take influence from Persian design principles in their use of ornamental quatrefoil, filigree, and tessellation. What I wish to do, dear reader, is marry these techniques seamlessly, threading through contemporary ruminations on love and loss in all its foul-tasting bitterness. Pushing my head down, pulling my jaw apart, sporadic intensity, reluctant apologies. A note in my phone reads from 2019. I dread the thought. Much love, care, and adoration goes into the production of 18th century Valentines, whether mass manufactured for public sale or carefully handcrafted for private use. Poems printed onto silk with soft crescents of artificial foliage framing a babe, a bird, or an angel. Mine heart sings to look upon them. Valentine's, and by extension almost any and all Victorian ephemera, fascinates me, for it only exists in physical form in the palm of a clean gloved hand. If not for it being safely stored and cared for in the collections of Birmingham Museum, these objects would return to the earth to never have existed. I think of the dead who comprised these Valentines, never to know that their works would be so speculated upon, so cherished and desired. I too wish to craft objects with this degree of care and intimacy. A calligraphic hand style in midnight blue, professing thine love, divine and true. These expressions of affection have become increasingly rare. Through the mass mechanisation of Valentine's cards, often outsourced overseas in favour of cheap labour, disposable designs which can be cycled through like wildfire, contemporary Valentines lack love. With the proliferation of social media, physical tokens of affection are inadvertently replaced by likes, favourites, or the ultimate digitized signifier of true love, the heart emoji. The digital space opens up a realm of opportunity to send and receive love differently. In that same breath, the artisanal craft of the Valentine evidently becomes lost to time. While I look to print with silken paper and craft mine own distinct cursive script, swathes of saved ephemera rest before me, procured from the depths of eBay. Chromolithographic scraps, many of which were and continue to be manufactured in Germany, comprise of traditionally romantic motifs. These motifs, largely drawing upon the beauty of the natural world, offer a richly sumptuous and layered meaning within any given work. Red roses for passionate love, fruit in abundance as ripe emblems of fertility and financial prosperity, and small children as expressions of careless youth and joy. These scraps, machine embossed and die cut, can be collaged in near infinite compositions. Often adhered with additional tabs, they are then peeled back to reveal a hidden message to the chosen recipient. Frail and delicate little things, chromolithographic scraps were sought after collectibles, from which the term scrapbook originally heralds. I long to love and touch in real life. Fixated by screens, I often find myself lamenting on the lack of physical connection and communication I experience in the home, the workplace, and the wider world. The dominant social media platforms operate on an attention economy, bleaching our dopamine receptors beyond recognition and leaving us wanting, insatiably so. It is curious how I can hold unfettered access in the palm of mine hand to every person I've ever known and loved, and yet still I feel debilitated by an intense, profound loneliness. I look to a future now seeped in love through craft, craft as a culmination of one's worldly affections. I imagine this future, especially within the context of these fraught letters to thee, now near approaching 5 years on. Emotional outbursts has been a child of grief, seeped in longing for connection with others. Now that connection has begun to blossom beyond the page, I am considering the ways in which I can take this work into the physical world, through the art of calligraphy, letter writing, and fine paper crafts. Romance has, and continues to be, gently nestled at the core of my practice. I wish for that romance to be evident within the ink, the paper, the ribbon, and the cloth. Ceremoniously so, just as the Victorians would have wished.